I want to explain again what's now going to happen in our service so that you have time yourself to consider if you are to participate. I am going to bring you a meditation, a very short talk, and then after that there will be an opportunity given for any of you that would like, who've been part of this series, who've been in whom the Spirit of God has been stirring things from our study of Galatians, to share briefly anything that God has taught you about His grace that you think would help others to hear and certainly would help you to speak. We'll begin that time of sharing with two people. I invited people to speak to me if they wanted to share. Two people expressed the desire to do so. And then I'll invite others to add their voices. And then we'll conclude with one more person that expressed to me an openness to share after I asked her if she would be open to share. Not quite sure what came first there. The title of my meditation, I usually don't share titles, but I want you to know the title, is Daring to Live What Counts. And the subtitle is The New Creation Through the Cross of Christ. Now, that's a long title, so I'd like to give it a shorter title that none of you will ever forget. How dare you? How dare you? In this last part of this letter that Paul wrote to Christians, who he was astonished that they were so quickly deserting him who called them to live in the grace of Christ. That's how he begins his letter. He clearly has been dictating this letter to a scribe, to a person that would write for him, which is something he often did. But he closes his letter at the end of Galatians 6 with the following words. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. And where ordinarily he would conclude a letter with greetings to so and so and so and so and so and so, with deep passion, he communicates what counts, and he uses the word boasting, which is also defined as the word daring. And he clearly lays out simply, how dare you boast in this? And I dare you to boast in this. Not all those that I said this. How dare you boast in this? And I dare you to boast in this. So what I want you to do with me for just a few moments is open your Bibles, if you have one, read this passage with me, and very simply, I want us to see the difference so you know if you are living what counts, the new creation through the cross of Christ. As you prepare to read with me, I'd like to invite you to join me in a prayer. Oh Lord in heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God revealed in three persons, we are so grateful for your grace. And pray that as we look at the conclusion of Paul's letters, with the passion with which he himself writes, we pray that we will always remember the words he says, when we dare ourselves to boast in something that we shouldn't, and we don't dare to claim what Christ has given to us through the cross of Christ. Oh Lord, may we know the difference by the power of your Spirit. Amen. Read along with me if you will. Paul writes, beginning with verse 11, see what large, please, there's seats in the front, don't be embarrassed, I'm not, come join us. We don't want people having to be outside and not listening. Again, please. Paul writes again, see what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. And then he continues, those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. I'll explain that in a moment. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law. Yet they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule that he's outlined in verses 14, 15, not an addition, not a law, but boasting in the cross of Christ. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God, which he has spoken earlier, those who are part of Abraham's seed through belonging to Jesus. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus, both the marks of living in his grace and the marks of suffering for him in the world. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Brothers and sisters, amen. Great passage. All right, keep your Bibles open. Very quickly, look at verses 12 and 13 with me as he outlines five things that we should not dare do. How dare you do these things? And I cannot go into the details this morning. If you've been with us, it should come quickly to mind. Otherwise, you can look up study helps for previous weeks on our website, which we'll give you later. What doesn't count? In the first part of verse 12, he says, those who want to impress people by means of the flesh. It doesn't count to live to impress people by means of the flesh. How dare you try to live your lives impressing people by means of the flesh? And the flesh that he's speaking of is something done to the flesh, which at that time there was this belief that if you circumcised yourself, which was the mark of God's favor, the mark of God's grace in the Old Testament, that if you thought you needed to add to what Christ has done in the cross, how dare you? So really, when he's talking about something impressing people by means of the flesh, it's something that you are adding to the grace of God to impress people. Look at me, is really what it's saying. Look at me, look at me, look at me. I'm trying to impress you. How dare you add to the cross of Christ? Now, he's also, when he says, how dare you try to impress people by means of the flesh, is talking about things done in the flesh. So to the flesh, adding to grace, but in the flesh. And he's outlined many of them in this book. Earlier, he says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. So what do we know is done in the flesh to impress people? Anything that's not done humbly. And anything that's not done in love. Anything that's not done humbly. And anything that's not done in love. How dare you live your lives trying to impress people in the flesh? And then look at the second part of verse 12, where he says, by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. I've already alluded to this, but let me say it more specifically. How dare you try and impress people by means of the flesh? More narrowly, how dare you waste time trying to add to grace and making others add to grace? What a waste of time to say to one another, well, I know that Christ died for your sins, but you really need to do this. You really need to do this. You know what? I don't think you're a Christian unless you do this. And we spend energy and waste time trying to get others to add to grace, along with adding to grace ourselves. But then the last part of verse 12, he mentions a third thing. How dare you? How dare you try to avoid persecution for belonging to Jesus? Ah, that one gets a bit more difficult, doesn't it? How dare you impress people by means of the flesh, adding to grace or living out of the things of the flesh displayed in arrogance and a lack of love? How dare you waste your time trying to get others to add to grace? But also, how dare you try and avoid the persecution that will come because of the grace of Christ? Oh, I love the grace of Christ. I believe in the work of Christ. I celebrate the cross of Christ. I belong to Christ. As long as no one sees me. As long as it won't affect my job. As long as my family will still love me. So I better not say anything. How dare we do that? How dare we do that? Verse 13, the first part, he says, not even those who are circumcised keep the law. Not even those who say, this addition to grace is required for everybody. If you're going to add one thing, then you got to obey the whole standard of God's law. The whole thing. To love your neighbor as yourself all the time, everywhere, in private, in public, even when no one knows what you're thinking. If you're going to add one thing to his grace, then you better add it all. How dare you be selective in your obedience, thinking your good is good enough for a holy God? How dare you think that your good, if it outweighs the bad, surely God will receive me. His standard is perfection. How dare you think your good is good enough? God created it all good, very good. Our good is still covered with sin, which the cross of Christ carried, so that he might make all things new and return to display God's very good. Our good is not good enough. How dare you think it is? And then we see in the last part of verse 13, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. How dare you take credit for the work of Christ in another's life? How dare you say, yeah, they're my disciple? How dare you say, yeah, they're mine, I own them? Matter of fact, they're the only ones that my teaching is the only teaching that they should hear. How dare you lay claim for the work of Christ in the life of another? How dare you take credit for what is his? And then Paul shifts, going from how dare you to I dare you. I dare you. Look at verses 14 through 16. May I never boast except in the cross of Christ. I dare you to never boast in anything but the cross of Christ, Paul says. And then he adds what that means. It means that by boasting the cross of Christ, the world, including the worldliness in you, you're dead to. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. I boast in the cross of Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified to the world, and the world holds no appeal to me. I dare you, Paul writes, to boast only in the cross of Christ. And when you start to slip into some of these other things, you say to yourself, how dare you, Tim Behrens? How dare you? And you say your own name. How dare you boast in anything but the cross of Christ? And then he finishes by giving one more thing for which we might boast in. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. He says, I dare me and you to boast in Christ who makes all things new. But I don't know if he can make this new. I don't know if he can transform this part of my life. I don't know if he's really in charge of his world. I don't know if his lordship can really transform my family, my work situation, my relationships, our nation. I dare you to boast in Jesus, the new creation, who is making all things new, who's bringing his peace, who's demonstrating his mercy, and who's calling us to belong to him, the new Israel of God, that which was created in Christ. I dare you to boast only in the cross of Christ. I dare you to place your hope in Christ, who's making all things new, who is the new creation. What a great way for him to have finished this letter. How dare you? I dare you. How dare you? I dare you. You have received the invitation and calling to live in the grace of Christ. How dare you choose another life? I dare you, with me, to always and only live in the grace of Christ.